Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Mac Show. I'm your host, Jeff Gamet. And what day is this? Yeah, Mac Show. Yep. Welcome to the Mac Show. So awesome to get to be here with all you amazing people. And I should probably tell everyone who these amazing people are because not everyone is looking at a video right now. So, Patrice, how are you?
How you got from awesome to me? Oh yeah, that makes sense.
It totally
No.
makes sense.
Okay. No, I'm alive. I think that's what I can say. It's been a bit of a week, but it's fine. I did see go watch Project Hail Mary on Saturday, I want to say. So that was fun. I mean, like the book is amazing, so the movie is of course very different. It's also about 18 hours shorter or something, so makes sense. But I did enjoy it. It's visually stunning, and if you want to watch it, I'm not going to tell you much more about it, but if you want to watch it, go see it in IMAX, I would recommend. Or probably wait for the 3D movie on, I hope at least it's 3D or whatever, 4K HDR, whatever it is on the Vision Pro. I think that might also be pretty cool.
Chuck, now you're gonna have to go buy one.
Yes. Just for that, right? Just for
Here we go. Yeah, just for a movie.
that.
That sounds
Just
like a
for that one movie.
good idea.
That's a perfect investment for that. Yeah, no, but as I said, it's been a good week. The weather kind of changed. It was really nice and spring weather like until Wednesday, and yesterday and today it was cold and rainy and just awful. And I hope it gets better because I want to fly on Sunday. So let's see. The wind right now is a bit of a problem. We'll see.
Well, fingers crossed. Hey, I mentioned Chuck. So, Chuck, how are you?
I'm good. I made second place just
Hey.
because of the mention. So, thank you, Patrice. I think you elevated me somewhat. Yeah, doing good. But I'm kind of like Patrice. I feel like I'm living in a time warp for the last few weeks because it just seems like I don't know where the time goes. But it's always good to be here with this crew.
I agree. Hey, Dave, how's it going for you?
It's going great. It's been a busy week as well for him, for me. Lots going on, but we're getting through it. The weather here's been like a yo-yo as well. It's cold this morning when I had to bring out the rest of my trash, and a little cold. My hands are cold right now, but doing great. Lots of exciting things happening with Apple lately. Seems like that was our show last night was a lot to talk about in one episode. So, but I'm glad we'll definitely have some to hit here too. But glad to be here.
Yeah, we will definitely have s stuff to talk about, and thank you once again for letting us crib from your show notes so that I
Always.
didn't have to do any work.
That's what I'm here for.
You rock.
I knew you
Speaking
were here
of
for
rocking,
something, Dave.
I thought,
yeah,
yeah.
you totally ruined my segue, Chuck.
I'm
So I'll
sorry.
start over. Jeez.
Sorry.
Speaking of rocking, Marty, how's it going?
I took a nap for 45 minutes and woke up to 27 emails. So
Oh
yeah.
my God.
I hate this. I mean, I like this.
Oh man.
Yeah. So
Ever
yeah,
said, but some
it's one of those
more.
days. It's Friday. Everybody wants to get their last licks in before the weekend.
That was said
And I
with so
mean
much
that in a
passion,
bad
Marty.
way.
It's well, that's not nearly as much fun as I was thinking. Yeah. Well.
So we're here. Let's do it.
Okay.
We're here.
Let's do it. Yeah. Hey, before we get into the news, we do have a sad thing to share. Pillar of the Apple community, longtime friend John Martellaro passed away this week. And for those of you that know him, you know just how horrible that news is. For those of you that don't know him, you do, you just don't realize it. He's been part of the Apple community going back to the Apple II. He's been writing in the Apple community all those years, he wrote Space Shuttle Landing Simulator for the Apple II, which I played so much back in the day. And when I say play, what I really mean is I became a master at crashing space shuttles. But it was just so much fun. And then later on, when I met John and we're talking about different things that came up, and I was amazed that I was sitting there with a person that wrote this program that I had played all those years ago. He's been writing in the Apple community for forever. We worked together at the Mac Observer. He was the host of Background Mode Podcast, which some of the most fantastic interviews that I've heard. Just an amazing guy. And losing him this week just sucks for all of us.
Yep.
It does. For some reason, in my mind, his name is always Metallo, but I don't know why.
It's
but it's stuck in my mind.
His stage name. It was John's stage name.
Stage name, okay.
Yeah.
Metallo. Yeah.
He was such a good guy, though, you know, in so many ways. And he had a unique way of looking at all the technology we use and the evolution of technology that every time I had him on my show or we engaged in any way, shape, or form, it was just, you know, it's one of those things like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. Thanks, John.
I agree. He had an amazing perception. And I'm assuming part of that is what led him into astrophysics. He worked for NASA, you know.
He did.
Hmm.
And Lockheed Martin. And
I think Apple for a little while, right?
He worked for Apple for a while. Yeah. He was dealing with like higher end, like government, and corporate packages, contracts,
mm-hmm.
clients.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah. So he worked at Apple for a while too. He did it all.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. So miss you, John, and yeah, just made for a sucky week. Okay, now for some Apple news, as long as we're here. And I was thinking about which story to start with, and it just kind of seemed appropriate to start with the 25th anniversary of Mac OS X, at the time just OS X. So yeah, does that make you feel old, Chuck?
Mm-hmm. Yes. <A little. laughs> Yes. That just doesn't make any sense.
Well, we were all what, 12?
Yeah. I told you I
wasn't
all
band
time
together
war.
And say we were 12.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Dave and Marty, you did not go through the transition into OS X because you weren't Mac users yet, correct?
No. No. I started around 2004, 2005.
Okay. Okay. So what you missed was a time where a lot of us were very concerned about how this is going to play out, because OS X was completely new. Mm-hmm. Working our way through the Mac operating system up through Mac OS 9, a completely different code base, completely different type of operating system. And then when Apple bought Next, they got the Next operating system, which was Unix based, and so when Apple announced that they were going to be giving us a Unix based operating system, a lot of people were really concerned, because basically what Apple was telling us was, this product that we've made for decades, we're not making that anymore. We're making a new thing that looks like what you had, kind of, but we're starting over. The Mac is a new product. Well, 25 years ago now.
Yeah, I got introduced to PCs a long time ago, and my first introduction to Mac, I think, was when I took my first job in academia. That was 97 to 2000. And we had a person, the IT person, who was crazy about Macs. And I remember going into a completely empty Mac lab and trying to tinker around with one. Mm-hmm. And trying to figure out the system and such. I don't know what system it was, but it would have been 97 to 2000. And then my next introduction to that was in 2004, 2005, when I was attempting to do a podcast using an enhanced podcast option. And before that, I got into the Tiger. I would assume it was Tiger at the time, operating system. And that was pretty cool. I mean, it felt to me like more intuitive than what I had dealt with 5 years or 6 years before. So,
well, when you dealt with it before, mm-hmm. based on the time frame you're talking about, you would have been playing around with, depending on how up to date the lab was, system 8.5 or system 9, probably.
Yeah.
And that was a totally different thing. I mean, parts of OS 10 looked like OS 9, but it was completely new from the ground up.
Yeah.
Jeff, you know, it's funny when you couch it the way you did in introducing it. And I think back to the capabilities we had with system 6, 7, 8, 9. We weren't naive. We just hadn't as
you were just very young.
Well, no, Patrice, I'm thinking about the maturity of the way we approach computing, mm-hmm. and you know what we can do. That you know now, I think there's so much more productivity orientation, as opposed to geeking out on things. Not to say that mm-hmm. you know, even the Apple II clearly was a productivity machine in its own way. But how we've evolved with the capabilities we have now, that if they hadn't made those moves, we would never have been able to be where we are now.
No, we wouldn't be using Macs at all.
No, you're right, Jeff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm just, you know, it was an incredibly brave, crazy thing to do. It was a bet the company move in the largest sense. And we're the benefits. We mm-hmm. have been the one that have benefited from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that we wouldn't have gotten the iPhone, all other products later, if it wasn't for macOS 10. Because, remember, the foundation of every single product Apple has today was macOS 10 and was the kernel and a lot of the frameworks that we had, and which like. Also came from Next to some extent, but they had a foundation they could build on top of. They forked it for the iPhone and changed it and built new frameworks and whatever on top, and over the years did more and more products and changed it and shaped it and so on. But at the core, all platforms have a lot in common, including the Vision Pro, which on the surface looks different, but behind the scenes it's still there's still this similar kernel and whatever in place.
Mm-hmm. Even Apple Watch.
Yeah, Apple Watch. Like, I mean, think about it. Yeah. Like, you can go from a super powerful, what was it, Xsurf back in the day, but also run that on your wrist, basically, and scale it down to that level. And I think that is a testament also to the architecture of everything, to be able to do that. And then to transition, well, twice, actually, first go to Intel and then go to Apple Silicon.
Well, there were transitions before that.
Yeah, where sure.
Each time Apple could have just completely imploded, because we went from the the Motorola processor to so the 6803040 processors to PowerPC. Then from PowerPC to Intel, and now here we are on Apple Silicon.
Yeah.
So Apple has done something most companies can't do, and they did it several times.
Yeah, but as I said, I think it's also part of how everything is architected that you're able to do that, right? It's not as easy to just transition to an entirely different architecture and do that in a smooth way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I came to macOS in the... Also at university, like freshman year, I think, I even discovered Apple was a thing. Like in Germany, Apple was not very well known at all, like in academia a little bit, but and for sure in publishing, whatever, if you were in like very specialty like areas. But other than that, I had never even heard of Apple before that. And I joined, I think Leopard was the first one I actually used, but I had Tiger like on friends' Macs, like because it took about a year before I switched because I had a crappy HP. So
yeah, I kind of went a different route because in my full-time job, I started 26 years ago. You're talking about 2000, and I was still learning. I mean, I knew Windows. I mean, I knew my first computer was a desktop, and I figured it was a VTech Laser.
Wow!
Remember those? Wow!
Yeah, it was 486. That was my first purchase of a Mac. Of a PC. But it worked, and I learned and all that. But just seeing how it evolved, we had such my first 6 years of dealing with Windows in work was just brutal. I mean, and we don't have to go down the history of how Microsoft was with those back in those days.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I just, my friend, as I was working with him, he was an attorney, real heavy into Mac as well. And what got me into it was he actually, I don't know if he gave it to me or I may have paid him a little bit, but there was the PowerBook G4, the small one, the 12-inch, I think it's 12-inch.
I had one of those. Yep.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is great. And I was loving it. And then, and I was kind of on the cusp as I was waiting because I wanted it to be on Intel, And then I just was, I don't know, being weird because Intel was always on a PC. So, but then came the MacBook, the white MacBook, if you remember that. That was my, I will call that my official first.
I got the black
Mac
one.
I purchased. Yeah, the black.
When the black came out, that was my very first Mac, the black MacBook.
So we're probably
spend an extra $100 for it.
Yeah, it might have came with Leopard, if I'm not mistaken.
It came with Leopard. Yes. Yeah. No, it was
Leopard. Well,
the original white MacBook should have been Tiger because
that's right.
The black I got was when Leopard basically just came out. So.
And the rest is history. I mean, I've been here ever since, and now. I love the fact that I work with Macs every day at work. I mean, I've been waiting for so long to be able to finally do it. I mean, I didn't get into working with them and as far as work goes until about 2008, 2009. And those were some rough days too, just especially supporting Microsoft's products. Entourage and...
Oh my God. Ouch.
Yes.
How dare you bring that up?
Yeah. I know. How dare I know? But hey, it
sounds like PTSD.
Yeah, it was. it was very difficult. But there's a lot of history. I mean, I'm jealous. You guys, some of you guys here were starting way at the beginning, even before. I mean, I wish I would have kept going. Unfortunately, I went the wrong road when I got out of high school because I was using Apple IIs in high school. And I loved it then, and I just.
Yeah,
turned the wrong road here, but
Or you turned the road that was working, right? Because I mean, there were some rough years in between. So
there was.
Even my wife had a Performa, and when I had met her, and I still wasn't really dabbling into the Mac, and she was a school teacher, and at the time, and that was the thing to have, and I remember that machine she had too.
I'm trying to ID my first Mac, which was given to me or loaned to me to do some of the work that I wanted to do. And I think it's the one that David described, which is the kind of aluminum body with the white Mac emblem on the back. This would have been 2004, 2005, and it was a MacBook.
PowerBook. That's probably a PowerBook.
PowerBook,
PowerBook, yeah. They didn't call them MacBooks yet.
That was the power. Well,
iBook, PowerBook.
Exactly. The iBook was the consumer and the PowerBook was the professional side. Yeah, I had to support them. I worked at my university. I worked in Linux and Mac support. Like, that's how I started. Even actually a little bit before I even got a Mac, because I kind of stumbled into that. So I supported tons of iBooks and PowerBooks and so on. Took them apart a lot.
It's around my house here somewhere. It's
Holding up the coffee table. I don't
operating
know.
after I
Your house
loaned
is in
him.
your collection of equipment you've got.
He has a Marty has a computer museum at home, right?
You
A
can almost have a
Mac Apple
museum.
computer museum.
And my son played with it for a while when he was a teenager, and the next thing I knew, it didn't work. So,
How about
that? That was like me when I was a kid, and I would open up VCRs and try to fix them.
I
He's getting
broke
married
my
next month,
computer.
and it, yeah. He's getting married next month, and I think I've just came up with the perfect wedding present. My broken
Oh my
You're a
broken
good
MacBook.
dad.
Oh my god, that
That's
would be
great.
fun. Here, you broke it, you fix it.
They'll recycle it probably.
No, I mean, I was on the PC side a long time, and I broke tons. I mean, there were times where my PC was more broken than working because I was constantly trying something and then figuring out that's not something you should do. Like, oh, what happens if I delete this? Well, okay, Windows doesn't work anymore.
Oh, the good old days. Nah.
Yes. Well, I mean, I was also a kid, and you kind of experiment with things. That's how you learn.
Oh, I'm having nightmares of the image process in those early days.
And like Patrice, the first one I purchased was the black MacBook.
Great machine. I mean, the
That
plastic
was great.
started the plastic or poly, what is it called, polycarbonate, I think they called it.
The
It
polycarbonate.
fell apart, and there was a replacement program at some point, I remember, but
I do remember that. Well, Marty, what you missed out on for amazing Macs, and well, and Dave, you as well, because you got in a little bit later. Back in the old days. So this would be
1876. No,
right when Macs were still coal powered. Anyhow, it was a long time ago. The Pismo PowerBook, and so it was a black Mac laptop, and when that model came out, that was the model where I realized I don't have to have a desktop computer anymore.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
That thing was the most amazing Mac I ever had. It had two bays, so you could swap in an extra battery. You could have an optical drive, floppy drive, zip drive, whatever.
Zip drive.
It was
Zip. Wow.
just double batteries. You could
250
open the thing
megabyte
up,
disk.
replace. That was crazy. You could upgrade the memory. You could replace the hard drive, and I tricked mine out. It was loaded with it was a powerhouse for its time. And then in the end, it was time to move on. But I still think that's probably the best Mac I ever owned.
Jeff, I want to echo that because that I don't really usually look back and say, I look back and say that was a great Mac or that was a really, one of my favorites. But it's my favorite Mac is always the one that's in front of me now because you can do so much with it.
Of course.
But that said, that for the time, that was brilliant engineering, because to, like you said, you could put double batteries in. If you were, you know, on the road, you could use two batteries and have ridiculously long life. But if that you didn't need that, then you could swap in all the other options as well. And so it was in a, probably the most versatile Mac I've ever owned. And the good thing is now that, you know, things have miniaturized so much and condensed that we still, we now have a lot of those capabilities in our existing Macs without having to do the swapping in and out. But that felt like, in my mind, where some of that started, a recognition that everybody had different needs and this was a machine you could customize to your needs or wants.
Yep.
Did it have an MOD drive? That's the big question. Did no MOD drives?
I'm trying to remember all the peripherals I knew of that you could get for. I don't know.
It was something in the late 80s, early 90s. Magneto optical drive, kind of a mix between a floppy and a CD.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I do remember those. I just don't remember if there was a bay for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, probably could probably install it, right? If there was a bay, we'd probably install that.
Yeah, I wonder if the bay was big enough for that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it would hold a standard CD, so yeah the bay would have been big enough. Should.
Yeah, funny. I just remembered that. I was like, oh, MOD drive.
Yeah, we used those in the print shop, and like a similar to a PsyQuest. You have the cartridge that the disk is in. It goes into the drive, and just these big clunky sounds, whirring motors as it gets sucked in, and then it had to spin up, and so you'd sit there and listen to it go boo as it spun up.
Yeah, I mean, like the CD drives of the day, right? They would also spin up, and you could hear it.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, speaking of ability to expand and make modular and all that, let's talk about
where
the
are you
Mac
going
Pro.
With that? Oh, okay, Mac Pro. I was like, where is he going with that? Expand, make modular. I'm like, okay, waistline. No, that's not it.
but totally applicable. Yeah. So Apple's computer that you can open up and upgrade and expand yourself is no more. It is an X-Mat. It has shed its mortal coil.
For the third time, probably, or something. Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So Apple has officially discontinued the Mac Pro.
What a surprise.
Yeah.
It should surprise exactly nobody, because it was kind of, very long in tooth, and the last upgrade was kind of a non-upgrade, let's call it that. It was like, oh yeah, you can also now buy it with, I think you can buy it with an M series chip. I think that was it, right? Was that even before that? I don't remember. Maybe it was even before that.
Well, whatever the last update was.
Yeah. It's been so long that I don't even remember what it was.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have to launch Mac Tracker, so I
can... Yeah. But anyway, it was quite clear that with all the other things they've been doing with the M chips, that basically, as I said, I don't know if they ever came to the Mac Pro or not, but definitely not in any real way. Like, it basically more or less stayed on the Intel side of all things. I mean, it was the last Mac that was still shipping with Intel CPUs, right? I think to this day, more or less.
Yes.
Yeah, I said, I don't know if they ever got the M series chips, Apple Silicon. I don't remember.
They did.
They did. Okay, so then I got that right. It's not a surprise. Like, it's been so long that I think nobody really cares anymore. I mean, there's someone who cares, right? There's some people who are upset about it, but there's always.
Yeah, I don't want to encourage the haters, because, you know, that's not it. I mean, it was a fine machine.
It was a great machine.
But again, you know, we have an evolution here. We have Apple Silicon, and We have Thunderbolt 5. And we have all those things where you no longer need to, you know, have a big case and all of that to utilize those devices.
Yeah. I mean, technically that was true, but that was actually already true when they released the current iteration of the Mac Pro in 2019, because I was there when they announced it. I got to go to the original, like the design studio, whatever it was called, that they had at WWDC. Mm-hmm. But they also introduced the, the Studio Display XDR, the original, came with it. Mm-hmm. Or you could buy it with it if you wanted. Spend another $5,000.
Yeah, but Patrice, you know, I get it. And it's one of those things, you keep things going for a while, maybe beyond, you know, the life that they could have had. And we just had this discussion on somebody's show about the way they handled Final Cut. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe they learned a valuable lesson that, okay, we need to keep these things around a little bit longer, keep a tail going for the hardcores who have invested, obviously, a lot of money in those.
Yeah.
But now I really am not anxious to have a computer that I need wheels on to move it around.
That costs another $400, by the way.
No. Well, yeah, there's that.
$700. But, you know,
even.
Wow. Yeah.
Marty, you're muted.
Yeah.
We cannot. Sorry,
I do, however, want one wheel.
You want one wheel?
I just want one wheel.
It's probably all any of us could afford.
It's a beautiful wheel, I have to tell you.
And it could be like one of those finger widgets that you could play with.
Fidget spinner.
On your desk. Oh, yeah. Fidget spinner.
Okay, let's order a 4-pack and then split it. There's nothing.
There we go.
I would go in for that.
I love that idea. I need a fidget spinner.
And I think they took the wheel guy and said, hey, listen, we're discontinuing the Mac Pro, but we've got another place where we can put your talents, and that's in monitor stands for our monitor line. Because if you're looking at, the Pentagon can buy a hammer for $500. but, you know, we can't buy a monitor stand.
Yeah.
I
kind of wonder what Apple's strategy was, because at the point when the Mac Pro came out, the new design, 2019, they knew already that the M series, the Apple Silicon chips, were on the horizon, because they announced them a year later, I think. Yeah, a year later, 2020. So they knew that was coming. They knew that they were transitioning off Intel. So I have a feeling they thought there was a bigger market for this, and they tried to push it, right? With, you can install it in racks and have servers and blah, 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 all of that. I think they thought that they had a bigger market than they ended up having. And at some point they were like, okay, we got so many other good options for those people who need it. I mean, including rack mounting Mac Minis if you want, or Mac Studios if you want. We really don't see the case for it. It is a... if you've ever seen one in person, ridiculously over-engineered, beautiful beast.
Yeah.
So you just defined Johnny Ive.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
He is a beast.
Yeah, he is. No, it is. I mean, and the people who probably needed that, they loved it, I'm sure. But it's just where there weren't enough, as said. And the whole expandability, like, that is a very Intel way of doing things.
Yeah, and the only thing I read on it was when people said why it existed was because it gave them flexibility in swapping out graphic processing cards, GPC cards, for the kind of processing that they wanted, that they couldn't do on a typical desktop.
Yeah, I mean, there were a ton of third-party extensions. Well, yeah, they had those extension modules you could have, or they had specialty chips. There were a couple even third-party manufacturers that were designing like very specialized chips that you could basically hook into your Mac Pro. So there was a little bit of a third-party business there, but again, I don't think it was that big. And these days with Thunderbolt 5, I think the need is probably not there anymore.
They didn't take this to, they didn't take the Mac Pro to Apple Silicon until 2023. And that's when it got the M2 Ultra. It was Intel before that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And even then, I think they still shipped Intel versions. You could just optionally get an M5, an M3.
Yeah. M2. It never M2 went to even. An M3.
Oh, M2. Yeah. True. even worse than 2023 and M2.
At least I don't think it ever went to an M3.
I think it was the M2.
Yeah, it was M2 Ultra.
They were really, really behind on that, kind of.
Yeah, but when the Mac Studio came out, I knew immediately that the Mac Pro was dead.
I mean, there were rumors that they had an M2 or M3 Extreme or something in the works that should go into that, but maybe they just realized not worth it.
Yeah, and I think you're right, Patrice. There just wasn't the market that they thought there was. I mean, there's a lot of value in certain fields to have an incredibly expandable chassis for a Mac.
Yeah,
but I think that is such a small niche now.
Yeah, or a rack-mounted Mac, right? That was the other part that they offered.
Yeah. And with the Mac Mini, like you said, or Mac Studio, you've covered the rack mount part. Mm-hmm. And what most people needed a Mac Pro for, the Mac Studio handles.
Yeah.
And for everyone else, if you really need that expandability and it needs to be a Mac, well, hold on to your M2 Ultra or see if you can find an external chassis where the cards you put in are supported by the chassis.
And I mean, to be like honest, we're not saying it's a bad machine. We're not saying there isn't people that don't need this or want this. Like there is for sure a market for it. I think it's just Apple realizing that. I think especially the expandability direction that the Mac Pro offered was not something I guess they decided they didn't want to do that way. Not that way, right? They wanted to do it through Thunderbolt, and then you don't need that case. And they would have needed to push that ahead if they really wanted to continue with it.
So, Patrice, if they knew these chip changes were going to happen, they should have just rebranded the Mac Pro and said, we have a new version of the Mac Pro. It's called the Mac Pro Hospice.
And I thought it was the cheese grater.
You know,
the
it's kitchen. Like breaking it. It's breaking it early. You know, breaking the bad news early. You
know? Yes. Yeah. No, I'm sure they had different plans for it, because they wouldn't have done it otherwise. I'm sure they thought with that they would follow the trajectory that they had on the Intel side with. Having expandability and all of that, and just down the line realized that's not where they're going, or it's not working the way they want to, or there's better alternatives at this point, so it's not something we want to do. Right? It just doesn't make any other sense. Like they had to have known, and they on the high level at least. I mean, you know, the teams individually might have not known because secrecy, but on the higher level they knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since there's five of us here, do we want to do another story or do we want to
move on? Let's do one more.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's talk about the new Apple Business platform. Ooh.
Yeah. They were pushing it in the store when I was there to have my iPad checked out.
Oh, really? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably more so than ever because, you know, you'd hear a little bit about it. And then, you know, when I would walk in there and say, you know, I try to get my company discount and, you should talk to our Apple business team. And, you know,
asking every person in there whether they use their devices for business. Literally everybody, including me. I think anybody who looked a little bit like it could be possible. I'm sure that there were some people that are like, yeah, those are not the people.
So they're not going to ask me.
No, they would have totally asked you, Jeff.
I got asked that question a long time ago, and the guy was trying to convince me about bulk purchases. And, and so he goes, well, do you have a business? And I said, well, anything for a buck. is my business, which goes back to the old Bob Newhart show. Mm-hmm. Anything for a buck was Larry, Daryl, and my other brother, Daryl or Larry, whatever it is, I can't remember.
Larry, Daryl,
that was their
Daryl.
Business. Yeah. Yeah, that was their business name. So I am signed up in the business account as anything for a buck. And I haven't used
it. It's fantastic.
You mean they bought they bought it? They bought it?
They went ahead. Yeah, they and I occasionally get, you know, messages about this stuff. So
hey Dave, since you are our corporate guy, do you want to tell people
you almost said shill, right? That was the word you were looking for. I'm sorry,
Dave.
I'm sorry.
Not a shill.
Okay, you're right.
Have we ever had anyone on the show that we could consider a shill?
Probably.
I'm just trying to think of...
I don't know. I'm a shill for the Vision Pro. Does that count? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's not working because Chuck still doesn't have his.
That's true. I'm bad at it, I guess.
Doing a terrible job, Patrice.
So, anyhow, Dave, do you mind if I put you on the spot and ask you to tell people about this?
As far as the moving parts of it all, Apple Business Manager, that's been the core for how you manage your Apple products, because what happens is you, when you set up that plan for all your Macs and your iPhones and your iPads, your Apple TVs, all Apple products that would be in a corporate setting, they get automatically assigned within Apple Business Manager. And what happens is you can't just take a laptop and go ahead, I'm going to set it up for myself. No, nope. it's going to say this product belongs to X company. And it's basically a brick if you attempt to try to change that, because it's all registered based on the serial number. So that's one of the best things I think Apple has when it comes to security in itself, because, well, I mean, on the Windows side, they are changing it now because the whole world of autopilot and, you know, being able to put that in Azure and being able to maintain those too. When you buy, like, say, a laptop from Dell, it's going to get automatically assigned within the tenant of Microsoft. So it's kind of a similar thing, but it works horribly compared to where Apple does it.
Yeah. We're using Intune, and And then it gets remotely wiped by attackers, right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah, exactly. So I understand the structure. A lot of companies way back when didn't do that. You know, you had images, you had to, you're doing network booting and Pixie boot. I guess that's the term. I kind of have to remember. It's been a while. But you have that piece of it. And then you're going to have an MDM process part of it. So Jamf has been the place to go with that in most cases, especially at the big corporate level. Jamf does a good job. It's been around for quite a long time, and it has its quirky things too, and the way they design things and how they do things and setting up with the MDM. But I've been working with Jamf for quite a while, and it is easy to manage devices. Even with iPads, a lot of heavy iPad work I've been doing, it's great. You know, being able to, I can go out there and, you know, you're maintaining cellular iPads, and you know, now you've got to put in the mix of a cellular carrier who you're going to use with it. Well, the great thing about Jamf is it's going to bring that information, so it'll know what the eSIM number is or what the IMEI number is, and be able to do it that way. So in the corporate world, that's huge, because you know, you got to think of companies like IBM and SAP and a lot of these other bigger, huge corporations that are, some have 100-150,000 Macs in their environment. It's crazy to even think about that. Cisco, I think they're about 60-40 on Mac. So how do you manage that stuff? So that's what comes into play here. But the good thing about this with Apple is the fact that it's going to be not only the big, large corporations potentially could get Apple back into this business, because they've been trying for a long time getting into the enterprise. I mean, they kind of stepped away a little bit. You'd kind of say they just kind of faded a bit. I mean, it was still there and they were still doing it, and they had Apple Business people, but I think they focus a lot on the small and medium sized businesses, and that's good. I mean, you got that option, But now they're putting things with this new service. You know, you're gonna have free email, and you know, I'm tempted. You know, I have a Google Workspace account now that I manage, that I use for my podcast, and I only pay for one user on that and use the standard.
Yeah.
But if I can do that through Apple, move the email off of Gmail and put it onto iCloud. Mm-hmm. I'm seriously want to look closer to this, because I love tinkering with that stuff, just because I don't get to do it directly, because I don't get access to that kind of stuff. I'm more on the management side of things, but being able to tinker with that kind of stuff like that is kind of fun. So I'm hoping to see where Apple goes with this on that end of it. So
yeah, I mean, Apple's approach here has been to go to the small and mid-sized shops, right? The big companies, they have Intune, they have Jamf, there's a couple others. They usually should at least have something in place already at this point. But there's so many small companies or small businesses, like from the single up, that have nothing and really could use the benefit of like being able to provision, being able to track, remotely wipe, all the things. I mean, that's where this started, right? The whole idea was to manage fleets of mobile phones. I think it's originally where it started, the whole MDM topic, and then it moved into Macs eventually. So yeah, that's Apple's approach, and that's why they're also talking to the people in the store. Like they're probably also reaching out to their business contacts to other companies. I assume so, but that's why they're talking to people in the store, because that's a whole untapped market where a simple solution is what you need. You don't need the complex Intune or Jamf. Oh, Jamf is not that complicated. No. But the complex thing with like a million tools, you need the simple thing that gets the job done that you need, the little things you need.
Right. Just simple management. I mean, that's the challenge. On the Windows side of things, they use SCCM as the software tool that has to be used to install, remove, and manage software. I mean, Apple has it too. When you're able to manage the software, Jamf, incorporating, you know, like the Mac Apps Store, because you have to, because you know, if people want the Apple software programs, you know, like Final Cut and Pages, Numbers, all that stuff, because because most companies are not going to allow you to just go to the simple App Store and download it. That's going to be restricted. You have to have it. You're kind of buying quote unquote a license, even though they're free, but well, now, you know, the Creative Studio is not free. So obviously now that there's another revenue stream for Apple now, because they're going to probably tap into that area to get people to, you know, using Logic Pro and Final Cut Pro and a lot of the big licensed products that they were selling as standalone for all these years. So having that piece of it is going to bring more to Apple when it comes to being able to manage these products. And I'm kind of excited to see how I've not been able to play with that too much more on the Jamf end, but I like to see like a core setup of just using Apple Business to see how it works. I got enough Macs now. I probably can do it.
For yourself. So, probably need to do it for yourself.
Three, four, five. Oh, yeah, at least five.
I think you need to do it for yourself. That's the thing. You have too many Macs that you can even manage that.
Too many Minis, an Air, a Pro, a Neo.
Yeah, see?
I should just have you provisioning my Mac for me, Dave, to save me the trouble.
It would be better, yeah.
Yeah.
I would do it, but my boss is an idiot, which would be me.
Which would be you.
I don't know, maybe Dave can rent us out some of his Macs.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
My take on all this is, thank you, Dave. That was a much better overview than I could have done. My take is Apple had a very fragmented approach to device management and business services. Unifying everything into a single package was very necessary. Saying here you can just use it for free, I mean that's crazy, and I think it helps Apple get closer to where they need to be to really help take the last of the tarnish off of their reputation in the enterprise space, because they're giving people more of that end-to-end solution that they expect when they're when they're investing in their equipment. They already get it from Microsoft. They should be getting it from Apple as well.
Yep.
All right. Well, there was a lot to talk about. There's a ton more, but instead of talking about that, I'm going to tell everyone that AWE Technologies is pretty awesome, because they, in addition to being a great company, are supporting the British Tech Network. AWE Technologies is making sure that we have the resources to live stream shows every single week, to have a website, to have a place for show files to live so you can watch and listen to recordings anytime you want. It takes a lot to make all of this happen. And without their help, we really wouldn't be able to do all of this. So we really, really appreciate that AWE Technologies is giving back to the community by supporting us. So thank you to AWE Technologies. Now, for those of you that are like, well, that sounds like a cool company. What do they do? Well, they help your company when you have a remote location, like you're doing a construction or a renovation project, and or you run a railroad, and you need to monitor what's going on at a remote location all the time. They have everything so that you can do that, and you just hit them up, and they can get it all set up for you, and get you set up so that you can do your monitoring and collect whatever that data is that you need to collect. So if you have a need for something like that, go check them out. It's AWE Technologies, AWE Technologies.co.uk. And thank you, AWE Technologies, for being here to support the British Tech Network. Also, speaking of support, even though it's been a while, Patrice, you still deserve a call out for the support you have given the network through volunteering time to make sure that we're on modern platforms and technologies for live streaming. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that. Part of that included getting us on a much more modern live chat system. And I would love it if you could tell people about that, please.
Yeah, really easy, very cool. Live.britishtechnetwork.com is where you go when you want to watch us record this show live. Do that every Friday, 4 p.m. UK time, whatever that is in your time zone. And a small note, Europe is switching as well to the daylight savings crap on Sunday night. So next week, for those places in, well, mostly Northern America right now that already did it, it's going back to the normal times. So whatever that is, you have to figure out for yourself. Use the Elsewhen app. Highly recommend that.
Yeah.
Head over to that page. There's a video on the left, the chat on the right, or on mobiles on the bottom. It depends on where you're watching it. And start typing. Just how easy it is. And you will see all the cool things we talked about, like the links. Dave, for example, put a link to a John Matularo Remembrance article in there, and also the articles we talked about, the cool things that are coming up, all of that is in that chat. So it's also an easy way to talk to us if you want. If you're listening to this in the recorded form, podcast players, website, wherever you found it, your AI agent recommended this to you and you watched it, who knows? You can still get to all the stuff that was talked about in the chat, all the links and everything. Just go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and then select today's date in the calendar, which is March 27th, 2026. Or just ask your AI agent to find that for you. That's where you find everything we talked about.
Awesome. And Patrice, since you mentioned Elsewhen, I went and grabbed a link to the developer's website and threw it into the live chat.
Could have made that my cool thing for today, but I have something else.
Okay. Well, and thank you for telling everyone about that, Patrice. And Dave, thanks again for letting us steal your show notes so that I don't actually have to do the work. Okay, it is now time for cool things. Dave, you have the first cool thing.
Yeah, I just picked this up. This is, you know, I'm a crazy doc buyer. I shouldn't even admit how many I have looking at myself on my desk right now.
I have been in your office before your move.
Yeah.
And I will confirm.
Yeah. You could have
Dave needs an intervention.
You could have skipped the doc and just said the crazy buyer and it would still be true.
Yeah. Yeah, but I was also working on work looking to get a, you know, this is a we need to have a good supported of a dock, but this is a Thunderbolt 5 and that's what I didn't have. And the Thunderbolt 5 is what I kind of I don't need to buy it because they're so expensive. You could probably have to spend anywhere between $300 and $500 for a Thunderbolt dock.
Yep.
This is the pricing on this one is great. This is a Kensington. Kensington, I think, makes great products. It's a Thunderbolt 5 docking station. It's a dual 6K at 60 Hertz, 140 watts of power delivery. It's compatible with all the Macs and Thunderbolt 5 Windows laptops as well. And it has a lot of great ports. I mean, it has the at the front, it's got the port that you connect right to your computer, and then all four ports are Thunderbolt 5. And it's also got the USB 3.2, so you got other older devices you have to plug in, including also if you have micro SD or SD cards, you have that headset jack. It's really solidly built. I'm pretty impressed the way it looks and the way it feels. Ethernet built into it. It's got a power button on the back, so you can actually control it. The Ethernet is 2.5 gigabit, which is nice and fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice dock, and I was able to pick it up. It had it was like an open box again. It really wasn't an open box. I got it. It looks like brand new. It's like around $217 US. Right now, the pricing on Amazon was around $250. That's still a great price for a Thunderbolt 5 dock, I must say.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. I mean, I've got it here now. It's on top of the other old Kensington. I think that Kensington I got for free. So it was. The only downfall maybe is if someone that you're looking is like if you wanted to have HDMI connections for your monitors. But I hope everybody these days are using the USB-C connection or Thunderbolt connection for a monitor because it's so much nicer. I have kept this old Asus monitor I have sitting here. It was my father's, and it's a nice monitor, but it's old technology. It's almost 9 years old, I think now. That's a lot of age for a monitor, but unfortunately, it only has DisplayPort and HDMI. So, the Mac Mini has an HDMI port, so it's easy to just connect it direct and then use the dock for other things. But yeah, I think it's a great dock.
All right. Very cool. Patrice,
mm-hmm.
You have the next thing.
I have the next thing. So it's an app or a website called Happy Cow. It's for those of you for whatever reason are looking for something vegan in your area, because that is always a bit of a challenge. Yes, there is sometimes dedicated vegan restaurants, but you don't want to go to a vegan restaurant, especially when you're with friends. Like, it might be that you're like, hey, I just want to go somewhere where I can eat something, right? No matter what restaurant that is. And that's what this app does. Yes, you could probably also try to do that with Google, but they don't have a filter for it, and it's kind of a shit show to get there. So this is what Happy Cow does. It's free. There's an app. There's a website. You could just say, I'm here, and I need a restaurant like this and this, and it does it. I like to do that sometimes because, like, for me, vegan is the safe fallback if I don't know how the restaurant is cooking things and what they're doing, because I have an allergy against alpha-gal, so I have to be careful what I eat and where I eat it. It's a set. Like, I usually can eat chicken or fish or whatever, but like sometimes vegan is just the safe fallback where I know that it's gonna be fine. So that's what I use when I'm looking for that. Or sometimes I just feel like a vegan restaurant and then I'll just use the app.
So I wish I had known about this already.
Works globally, so that's the cool thing.
I guess I'm going to have to download this. With the dairy allergy,
Mm-hmm.
There are times where the only safe food option for me is vegan. So this, I think, is going to be handy.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. All right, so we're off to a great start with cool things. And Marty, you're up next. So, you know, no pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah, I have been trying to learn ways to kind of juice up my MacBook Neo. And so what I'm found, and this was something I saw somebody in on Reddit using and suggesting, it's an Acasis ACASIS 10 gigabyte per second magnetic M2 NVMe SSD enclosure. And I got it, and it really is very cool. It's MagSafe. Mm-hmm. So you can put it on the back of your phone and connect to it. And it has a whole variety of ports. It has an HDMI port, 10 gigabyte per second USB-A connector. It has a 10 gigabytes per second a USB-C. It has a SD card on it. It also has a small SD card or a smaller version. And it has a power through of 100 watts. So it's a nice little device. It is, again, smaller than a pack of cigarettes, thinner than a half a pack of cigarettes, and quite easy to put, even though I have potatoes for thumbs. trying to put the SSD card was a little bit of a challenge. I needed to get one of the children out of the closet to unlock the closet and then have them put the card in and then put them back in the closet. It works really, yeah. And it has an internal fan too. So the fan is pretty silent. It's not really very loud. So this looks like it's going to be a connector that I'll take with me with my MacBook Neo, and size wise, it kind of reduces all that stuff too. So yeah. That's the link. That's my cool thing for this week.
That's very cool. All right. Well, nicely done with keeping up with the level of coolness. So, Chuck, that means the pressure's really on you.
Yeah, and I'm not going to be able to live up to it. And I'm sorry. I just realized I didn't hit the
button. That's usually my job to not live up to that expectation.
Yeah, well, I'm going to take it a little different direction. I usually focus on tech. But last week, and I wasn't here last week because I had a schedule conflict, or I would have mentioned it then, Phil Campbell passed away. And for those of you who don't know, Phil Campbell was the guitarist, the longest standing guitarist for Motorhead. And so he very untimely at age 64, apparently there have been statements released, so I'm not revealing anything, that he died from complications of a rather intense surgery. Which is really a terrible way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to pick the interesting thing, I think, is that, you know, he could have just kind of faded away because he had already had an amazing career with Motorhead after Lemmy passed away and the band disbanded. Instead, he formed his own band with three of his sons called Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons. And I put the link in the show notes to their page. And of course, now that the future of that band is uncertain, but this is some really great music if you want to annoy the neighbors and shake the dust out of your speakers. Embedded on the front page is a video for the last single that they will release, at least in this iteration, called Schizophrenia. So hit that button, turn it up, and enjoy it, because this was a very talented individual if you're into the metal space and the metal music. And it really was kind of a shock, because when I distinctly remember picking up the first album and thinking, okay, you know, the legacy of Motorhead lives on, that kind of music and the musicianship, and, you know, and what a great idea to be able to do it with his sons. And so now, unfortunately, you know, we've lost another good one. So go there, turn it up.
Chuck, I think you did a great job of living up to the standard that's been set today. So nicely done.
Well, it's not tech, but
it's okay. It's still cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I guess the pressure's really on for me. Mm-hmm. And my cool thing is actually kind of a tip. I'm sharing a link to where I found this because give credit where it's due. You know how in macOS Big Lake, every menu item has a stupid little icon by it, which means that the value of having an icon by something has been completely lost?
Yes.
There is a terminal command that you can do that fixes that. And so Steve Trotton Smith, he did a post on Mastodon where he lists the terminal command, and it's a default write terminal command. And so that's what I'm bringing today. And it does work. The trick is after you run this in terminal, and you can just copy and paste the line out from his post and drop it into terminal and let it do its thing. And it's just that fast. There's no indication in terminal that anything has happened. But when you quit and relaunch an app after you've run that command, you'll see the change in the menu bar. It's great. Now, there still will be some icons, and they're the ones that you probably actually want to have there. So apparently those icons are showing up through some other different hook than this one. It's great. And for me, it has fixed a very annoying problem in macOS Big Lake. For those of you that don't know Apple operating system names, you could also call it Tahoe.
No, my problem is that in the favorites, I use Hazel. And for some reason, it's using the Hazel icon on every single one of my favorites. It's crazy. I just live with it. I don't have time to try to figure it out.
But that's
very strange. But I guess the icons never really bother me. But it might be. I guess you're right. They weren't there before. Didn't even think about that. But that's good.
It's an accessibility issue as well.
Yeah, that's true. To see the icons, but does it remove the icons from the favorites? Or I got lucky. Probably not.
I don't know. I'm not having that problem, so I can't tell you. But I can't wait to hear your report.
I'm doing a Nuke and Pave on my new laptop, so maybe it'll just because I've been bringing, I've been upgrading all these years. I think it's time for a clean slate. It's been a long time. Because I restored Time Machine from one of the machines on it, and Mist was working, so I couldn't even run that because Mist has a bug. If you do a Time Machine restore, it won't give you the cache access to the folders.
Yeah, I thought you would do a Nuke, and I don't know yet what I'm gonna do.
Nuke and which, Dave,
yeah. No, that's what I mean. What your political leaders like to do, right? Nuke, and then I don't know. I don't know what we'll do yet.
And then I don't know what's next.
Right. Dave, have you tried to clean my Mac?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. I figured.
Probably the first thing I ask.
Yeah. Trusty setup.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yep. So there you go, Marty. Now you have a terminal command to try. So look at your menu items now.
He looks excited.
Yeah, you're really
done. And then look at them after you run this, and it will probably give you a little more insight, as if you need any more, into the sort of neuroses that makes me up. All right. With that, it's time to start wrapping up. So, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, I am here every week on the Big Show on Thursdays and the Mac Show on Fridays. So Thursdays, we talk about the non-Apple side of things. everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcast, the projects, the cool things, the occasional blog post. I wrote an occasional means once every couple of years. I just wrote two this year, so I'm overachieving already. Last one was about my solo flight that I did about 2 weeks ago, which was a lot of fun. Same that I posted on LinkedIn. So if you've seen it there, you don't have to go read it. But yeah, it's all on the website. ThePatrice.com will take you there. And with you, Jeff, I do retro rewatch. We rewatch retro TV shows and then we talk about it. A lot of fun. We're in the first third of season 4 of Stargate SG-1. The next episode will be a big window of opportunity for you, and you will have to watch.
I see what you did there.
We'll have to listen to that to know what this was about.
Yep. Not a spoiler,
nope.
But I guessed wrong before. My yes. prediction was so very wrong.
Yes, very wrong.
Yeah. Okay, Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com. That's where you see all the interviews, panel discussions, and anything else we throw out. We will be starting the Road to Mac Stock next week and starting to talk to all the presenters and maybe a few other people that will be in Crystal Lake, Illinois. So we hope you will join us there, MacStockConference.com. Check it out. And you can also find me doing the live show Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. We will be dark as we record this coming Tuesday, March 30th, because 30th? Yes, 30th, because I have an unavoidable schedule conflict, but we will be back the following week. And on all the socials, you can find me as at Chuck Joyner. Thanks, Jeff.
Awesome. All right, Dave. Your turn. Where can people find you?
Well, you could find me at In Touch with iOS, intouchwithios.com, YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. I have now 5 podcasts I'm doing right now. Crazy. Sunday nights, Mac, the Neo Notebook, talking about the MacBook Neo with Marty and Eric. And then a repeat performance on the Monday night with Marty and Eric for Vision Profiles. Tuesday on Mac Voices Live. Thursday we record In Touch with iOS. Friday here on the Mac Show. And you can find me on Blue Sky Mastodon at DaveG65.
Awesome. All right. And speaking of more podcasts than you know what to do with, Marty, where can people find you?
You know, the relief I get is when the days that I'm on a podcast that I don't have to edit a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You know, and this is one of them, what is a good day though without a podcast? I'm on Chuck's show on Tuesday. It's a drunken one. It could, you know, you could be doing a drunken podcast.
Oh,
wait a minute. Now I've got an idea.
Yeah. Up the trees.
Oh, man. You know, you've heard of drunk history. We could do drunk podcast. That, yes. Wow. Okay.
Another one.
Anyway.
Suddenly I'm worried for my liver.
Oh, your liver is checked out a long time ago.
All right. Well, then I'm in.
Okay, seriously, Chuck show on Tuesday, Dave show on Thursday. The shows that I produced and Dave's on and Eric is on is on Sunday night with the new show that we're doing called The Neo Notebook with news and kind of things we've tried with the notebook, with the Neo MacBook. That's on Sunday nights at 9 p.m. and then Monday nights at 9 p.m. again with Vision Profiles. And then the rest of the shows you can find at thepodtalk.net. Some cool ones there about movies, about food, just some fun things that somebody sticks an idea in my head and damn, I can't get rid of it. So you can catch me on the socials at Gencius, Gencius, on any of the socials. So thanks for having me here. This is always a highlight of the week.
It's a highlight of the week for me too. Yeah. Okay, so now, where can people find me? Jay Gamut on the social medias. I'm active mostly right now on Mastodon, Pixelfed, and Blue Sky. Then for shows, here we go. Tuesdays on Chuck's Mac Voices Live. Thursdays on Dave's In Touch with iOS. Here for the Big Show and the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And Patrice, as she has already pointed out, we do Retro Rewatch together. Okay, so all of you are absolutely awesome. And I am so glad we are all friends and you are in my life. And I love all of you. You're just wonderful people. And thank you for being here and making my my Friday a delight and adding a nice bright point in what's been kind of a crazy week. So seriously, thank you to all of you. Hey, everyone that that watches, listens live, participates in the live chat, thank you for being here and being part of this. And everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later, I'm so glad you're part of this too. Hey, Ewan, thanks for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. And All Technologies, thank you for being here to support us. Okay, so now, everyone, don't forget to join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Then come back again on Friday for the Mac Show. And all of you, have an awesome weekend.